them.
Hey, baby.
How are you doing over there?
I am doing wonderful. I must say so. Aren't y'all happy? This spring is making me feel good.
Yeah. Feel how like about card season? Yeah, summertime for the cookouts.
Rainbow tea time.
It is rainbow tea season. Mm-hmm.
And you know what, people? Y'all can do a rainbow, any kind of party, picnic, or anything. Like, I seen people doing those
a
baskets.
Rainbow cookout sounds like a fun time.
We might have to do that.
Oh, yeah. Have you seen some of the TikToks where people wear their colors and they bring certain colors of food and things?
Y'all tell me about y'all's if y'all do some kind of colorful activity in your household.
Household, your family. Bring your cousins around.
Yeah. I'm Angela the mom.
I'm Roger the daughter.
And this is
Talking Brown Sugar. Find us online.
Facebook and Instagram.
@ Talking Brown Sugar.
Email us.
TalkingBrown.Sugar@gmail.com.
YouTube.
Talking Brown Sugar. Yes, you can enjoy Talking Brown Sugar on the go by finding us on your preferred podcast app as well. Wherever you are, don't forget to give us 5 stars. Leave a review if you're on Spotify. You can interact with us via polls. And we have other things coming soon for different ways to stay engaged. But yeah, you can hit us up in our email with things you want us to talk about. As well as don't forget our sweet deets. Yeah, I could put something on your stomach. So little sweet deets. That's where we shout out local businesses, especially if you are in North Carolina. Hit us up about what you have going on. We would love to give you some light and send people your way. I want something else to get me through this semi-drama kind of life. Baby, I want something else. I'm not listening when you say
goodbye. Sugar Bowl.
Yeah, Mama, what's on your mind?
We talking about the dollar store. It's not no dollar no more.
They shutting some dollar stores down. The Dollar Tree.
I know. That's my little hidden miss place. I like going in there to find these little, gadgets?
Knickknacks.
Knickknacks.
And some necessities that you need but don't need to spend an arm and a leg on.
Yeah, like Brillo pads. If I can get
rubbing
them for
alcohol.
A dollar, what?
Combos.
All that kind of good stuff. It's awesome. Look, you can get 5 shower caps for $1.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a hit and miss. It's making me like, for me, I might as well go shopping bulk. But it's the way it's going to be anyway. You know, either you go in there or not. Some people say, oh, they prefer going to Walmart. Me, I don't. I like Tajay. But it's like Temu and Wish. I like these little odds and end places from wherever we know where they come from. You do what your dollar do. Mm-hmm. But it say $7. I don't know about that. They better have some bigger sizes. What you feel on that?
Yeah, I think it's interesting that they are increasing prices. It lets me know that they are also feeling the economy. You know me. The price of everything is too damn high. For me, I may not be from Jersey, but I love Jersey remixes to things. I love Jersey beats. Thinking about, of course, you know, I got to talk about it because I'm still listening. Kelway Carter, she was putting this together 5 years ago. And I think about where Jersey mixes and things were popping, especially during the pandemic. I don't know if you remember that song, but it went viral. It was like a Jersey remix to Tonight. We are young. But the Jersey mix was, I know I gave it. I know I'm not doing it justice, but y'all know what song I'm talking about. That Jersey mix to that song went viral. And so it's just, I love that Jersey remixes and Jersey beats are growing in popularity. So much so that they even have a Fortnite emote. where they're doing a Jersey dance to this song. But yeah, I love Jersey Beats, and I love that they're popping up in Cowboy Carter. But yeah, it just, Jersey mixes for me get me pumped up. So yeah, I'm just inspired right now to do art and all the different forms that I love and mediums and things like that. The other thing I was thinking about was walk with me for this. Pens, you make a mistake, you have to scratch it out with a pencil, you have to erase it. But either way, you have to keep writing, you have to keep going. So just, you know, as I was writing, trying to choose a pen or pencil, I remember growing up thinking, what am I writing a pen for? If I mess up, then I have to, you know, have ugly scratches, I'm going to have to use whiteout. But with an eraser, I can erase. But then it's like, don't spend too much time trying to erase a mistake or look back on things you had to scratch out. Just keep going. Don't worry. Don't sweat it. Just keep going. I remember I had to tell my little self that. And I remember being told that when I was growing up, when I started using pens as I got older, that was a requirement. That was something I was worried about. It's funny how the small things you used to sweat are now not so big, such a big deal. I prefer writing in pens and things like that. If I mess up, I mess up. You just keep going. It's whatever. It's not that big of a deal. So don't take yourself seriously. So serious that you can't make mistakes. And keep going. Just keep swimming, swimming, swimming. Just keep swimming. Swimming, swimming.
Swimming, baby. Sugar Cubes, aka the news, where we put a little sugar in your cup.
Yes, our first story up. You all may have heard about this, may not. Margaritaville will be expanding at Lake Lanier Islands. They'll be adding multi-million dollar enhancements at, you know, its rebranded water park. So even more than what they already had planned, they will be adding water slides and other expansions to their rides at the Lake Lanier Island.
Y'all need to look this up. Lake Lanier. And it's located in Georgia.
Yeah, just to give some history on the history of, you know, the black town of enduring racism. And of course, it's the site of many deaths. Lake Lanier is a man-made 38,000-acre lake, and more than 10 million people visit every year. Brings around $5 billion annually to North Georgia's economy. The lake is located in the affluent Forsyth County, which is the highest median income area. Lake Lanier was also seen as one of the ugly stains of the country as far as, like, you know, racism. So while eliminated memories of the thriving black communities that once stood strong, black towns like Rosewood, Florida, and neighborhoods like Greenwood and Tulsa, Oklahoma, they were a testament to the strength, innovation, and independence of the residents until they were destroyed by white mobs. Lake Lanier is a chilling reminder of the anti-black violence that is still claiming black lives today, specifically people who have been swimming there. Lake Lanier is a common, you know, occurrence in reality that people go missing, they drown, and things that just happen that are unexplainable. So in the 1950s, what was once Oscarville was flooded for the creation of Lake Lanier. According to many historians, the community structures were not removed, including unmarked graves. So even divers have been able to go down there and still see, you can see all kinds of things that are still standing from the buildings, the unmarked graves, just like an underwater town. In 2017, a longtime diver, Buck Buchanan, wow, almost bucked that one up, claimed he sometimes felt body parts in the lake. While underwater, you reach out into the dark and you feel an arm and a leg and it doesn't move. He said just last year it was announced that one of the lake's rescue teams would no longer be using divers for underwater rescues. Instead, to decrease risks to divers, they will use robots for underwater rescues. The horrific history of wiping out black communities and often simultaneously stripping black folks of their wealth is not unique to Lake Lanier. It's just, this point made by Teen Vogue. It's an article you all should check out. We live in a country that went from enslaving black people to wiping out the communities they built post-slavery. Today, some politicians are prohibiting the teaching of that history while simultaneously promoting a false account of that history. AKA Florida's new African American Studies curriculum teaches students that enslaved people saw personal benefit from their captivity. It's a heartbreaking testament to the legacy of racist cruelty that too many Americans insist on upholding. So, yeah, check that article out to learn more about the history of Lake Lanier and why, you know, the enhancements coming from the further development of Margaritaville is troubling and not welcomed by all because of the history.
A black community, they just wiped it away. And they swimming on top of it. They're making money off of it. They're always making money off of something that we had. And it's still there that we do have. And like, it's just nothing. It's just like Central Park. Y'all need to look that up too. See who was living there.
Seneca Village.
All these I don't even know how to say it. Amusement areas. It was, this took people's lives. This made them move. It scared them away. You know, how you going to live there? You're going to keep getting threatened every day. In Margaritaville, you made it's like a living, what you want to say, living graveyard, really?
Yeah, turned amusement park.
And you going swimming there, and you done heard tales that people missing or coming back grounded? Hint, hint. Somebody's not happy. Makes me upset. It does. Next thing, baby.
Well, no, I mean, we can spend time on it. We don't have to move on so fast. I know it is upsetting, but
it is.
We think about America is built on stolen land. So I think it's just even more of a disgrace to then, like you said, turn it into something for fun, for profit, when you don't recognize how we got here, how you got to this point. That's the part that's troubling and why we have to be mindful of all the stuff that's going on, people telling us to forget history when there are things that are still happening in present day. So no, I'm not going to forget where we come from when we have not arrived at a place where we are equal, things are equitable, and we can have honest conversations about why racism is so ingrained in this country and people think they're better than people who are different from them, and why things have to keep all of us behind and struggling. It's like we can't even realize that so many people are in poverty because we still want to believe that we're better than the next person because they're black and I'm not. So if we can't have honest conversations about race, when can we have honest conversations about poverty, just hunger, illiteracy, ageism, education, health in this country, all the things that are wrong with this country are stemming from these institutions that are ingrained in our everyday life. And if we can't talk about the root of those things and the history, we are going to continue to backtrack and go backwards, not just repeat the same cycles. We are going backwards. We're reverting. We're getting worse than we were.
And I'm like, if you're going to do these renovations of anywhere through the 50 states or wherever, give back to these communities where you stole things from or try to rewrite it to make it sound correct for somebody's economic pockets. Because just like we're saying,
great point.
It's not right. If you're going to take away something from me, make it better than what I had it before me. Give some homage to the families. We're not going to talk about restitution. Because when we bring it up, you can show us bells and whistles of this is the amount that we can give. But when are you? Reparations. What did I say?
Restitution.
I know I want some money back too.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know, let's go for our government, which is in state wherever you live. Plus the people that you put in the seats from the White House to where you stay. So that's why I'm always advocate, please vote.
Yeah.
Because our numbers and it's not adding up. And this year is the most crucial. Act like your life depends on it.
You got to act like it does.
Look at your 4 years to 5 years expansion, your future from the 5 to 4 years from where you at today and now. Is it any better? Is it any better? Look at your pocketbook. I used to shake change out of my pocketbook. I used to shake change out the couch. I can't even shake damn lint.
Yeah.
You don't even see the hustlers hustling to make money.
Everybody has to hustle now.
Everybody's
That's
hustling.
Why everybody going on tour. And everybody saying, don't nobody else announce not one more tour. Because we recovered from the last tours.
We ain't got no
we
money.
We had to put on Klarna to get the tickets to.
You know, everybody, people don't even sell plates like they used to. They used to like to say, oh, we're going to support. Support
well, the plates are now $30+ for 2 pieces of chicken, a green bean, and a roll.
And don't ask for a beverage. That's going to be $17.
You want it cold? You want ice?
Maybe.
Extra. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. New housing project in Durham approved unanimously over concerns from neighbors. In Durham, North Carolina, the Durham City Council unanimously voted to approve the Aura 751 project, a proposal which could add hundreds of residential units to the streets of South Point. It says with future growth map framework says is you look at the surrounding area, the housing types that exist, and you try to add additional housing diversity through new development. So that's exactly what we're doing, trying to do here, is to add a different product type to what's offered there. To add needed density to the area, so we're proposing a multifamily development, said Collier Marsh, a partner with the Parker Poe, who is working on behalf of the Dallas-based Trinsic Residential Group. The project will be located along Highway 751 and Wayfield Avenue. This could also include up to 350 apartment units in the buildings at least 4 stories high. Of those units, 22 will be income restricted and 11 at 60% area medium income or AMI and 11% at 80% AMI for a period of 30 years. People having stable, safe housing is such a core need that we have to meet, because if we can get people's housing stable, it makes it so much easier for them to be employed. It makes so much easier for them to be healthy and so much easier for residents to thrive and have high quality lives, said Councilmember Javier Cabrera. So yeah, there are a lot of neighbors, however, who, you know, are questioning the impact, and they're saying the need is there, but the housing proposal does not actually meet the need for more inclusive and affordable housing. We also find the claims that developers made to improve the low-income housing provisions in the area to be somewhat laughable. The low-income housing provisions that they're set aside require residents to be making $55,000 to $65,000 a year to qualify for this inclusion, said Kevin Sullivan, a Durham resident who spoke Monday at the city council meeting. Our first concern is traffic. It's already difficult and unsafe to turn on Highway 751 due to the high traffic volume. Wrecks occur frequently in this area. We expect that the added 14,000 daily car trips will worsen that situation, especially at peak hours, added Andrea Medenblatt, a Durham resident who serves as HOA of a neighborhood near the planned site. And then also, you know, more people were chiming in. Grant Harvey, who's lived there, talked about the city should have waited before moving forward with plans of this scale. Talking about why not build that as a smaller housing unit, you know, situation, and see how that performs, see how that impacts the community before doing more of that. Then talked about how, you know, his home and neighborhood hasn't been properly fixed. We've had consistent water running from the back of our property where this property is located for, 20 years. In fact, we've had the city out here to look at our water main because I thought there was a leak, but it was groundwater. You couldn't see the water meter. And still to this day, you can see this consistent water draining, and we haven't had appreciable rain for several days. They never looked at the existing groundwater problem, and that's disappointing.
Yeah.
Yep.
My thing of it is, appreciate the thought of making an area livable, beautiful, comfortable. But you got to look at the whole geographics of it. If you have people letting you know the area is dangerous, 751, y'all need to check it out. It's not for the weak. Because if you're looking for safety for children going to school, older people driving, come on now. We can do better. Like the gentleman who has been living over there 20 years, you can't beat somebody saying something for 20 years of their experience to somebody staying in Dallas coming down with some blueprints and say, oh, we can put it right here. Seems like a good area. And then you talking about the income? Laughable. It's not a joke. You're talking about people's lives. People want to live. People want nice things. But they don't want to wake up with a nightmare. And this man talking about he got water problems in his yard, irrigation. Somebody need to come out there and check that out. But if you're not paying the person to check it out, you know what they're going to do? They're going to check it off and say, it's okay.
Well, that was something the city that was supposed to be doing that.
Yeah.
So, it's not necessarily you paying. It's like, what can they do about it? Or if they can find the root cause and solve it.
Yeah.
And they're not fixing that before they add more people.
If you're not paying that person, or like you say, they don't have enough of staff, it's going to get brushed with, it's going to be on the next paper trail.
Yeah. We do have a growing issue about housing in this country, and then not even people being able to afford a home, but they're talking about, you know, apartments that are supposed to be affordable, but you have to make a certain amount to qualify for that. And so that's, yeah, a lot to consider and figure out. But hopefully, because they're still going forward with the project, it does provide much needed housing opportunities, but I hope it doesn't drive up the cost of living any more than it has already.
And people are looking at their property tax. Is this going to bring the property tax down? Because you're talking about the areas going in. And some areas have fought for no affordable housing being built in their area.
But out of 300 units, they have less than 100 they're allocating for that. So, like, I get what the residents are saying as far as, like,
mm-hmm.
what the impact they're saying it's going to have is, like, what math are y'all doing to say that's going to be the impact? Because this doesn't make sense.
It doesn't add up.
So, yeah.
So, they know what income they're looking for. You know, you got to sugarcoat something. What did it say? You got to add a little honey to get what you want. Yeah.
But that's not even a little honey. That,
you know, let's not blindside.
Honey not in the room.
Where honey go?
Yeah, so.
That's a honey to-do list.
That's something just to watch out just as more things develop.
Yep. On another note.
In gaming, older games like Fortnite account for over 60% of playtime, a new report suggests. It says games that are at least 6 years old accounted for more than 60% of playtime in 2023, a new report suggests. Newzoo's second annual PC and console gaming report includes data analyzing player trends, highlighting how playtime has shrunk, and is focused on a smaller number of games. So live service and sandbox games dominate player time based on monthly active users. Last year, notably, the top game across all major platforms was Fortnite. Yeah, Fortnite has been taking it as far as keeping people entertained and playing. A lot of what people are streaming, I've seen Fortnite.
I have too. I don't play it, but my grandson does. Don't you play it sometime, though?
Girl, no, I tried to play Fortnite one time, and the mechanism of building while also it being a first-person shooter and like a 1v everybody, I couldn't. At the time, maybe now that I have a little bit more downtime, I can try to learn how to play it, especially if I were to get the emotes down, maybe. But when I first tried to play it, jumping out the ship to trying to build something, I got popped so many times, it wasn't even fun. It was not fun.
That's not
fun. I was trying to figure out how to play, and I was just like... Yeah, I might spend some time to do that, to figure out how to play Fortnite.
Because there's a lot of things going on, and I know some of these parents be like, oh, you need some money for what? Because my grandson was trying to tell me how, you know, you can buy this and that and other. I said, on the game? I said, this is mommy, your auntie's game, and she used to play, what is it? IMVU.
Okay, that's... We don't need to talk about that.
That was a good... I like that game.
That was a long time ago. It's not the same anymore. That's a different Sims game.
Sims. I like Sims.
Oh, Sims is still good.
I like when you can buy little stuff with Sims. That's more my speed, y'all.
Yeah, they have mods now that are even crazier.
Uh-oh.
But you need a... I would say, yeah, you would need a nice, hefty system to handle some of those mods.
See, we're not going to go there with that for me.
No, but yeah, it's so fun. Sims is fun. I see Sims as a cozy game and not like some of those other action genres.
Because, I mean, even though they have like the age limits, but we know people that be on these games are not age appropriate and they are saying other stuff. So people be careful with these games with your children. Keep an eye on it. Just don't send them off and say, okay, go and play your Fortnite or whatever systems and games they're playing.
Yeah. Further analysis of the percentage of total hours spent on the games. By release date, it says 61% total hours were spent on games 6 years or older. And then newer released games 3 years younger or around that time accounted for 23% of time. So the top five older games accounted for over 25% of all play time. That's Fortnite, Roblox, League of Legends, Minecraft, and GTA 5. Average play time lasted by quarter has decreased by 26% since Q1 2021. This is somewhat expected following the pandemic boom, but even 2023's Q4 failed to bring growth despite the holiday season. So the report ranks the top 10 games across PC, PlayStation, Xbox, and Switch by average monthly users, or MAU. So for PC, PlayStation, and Xbox, Fortnite, Roblox, Minecraft, Call of Duty, and GTA 5 are all, you know, the popular games there. But over on Switch, it's more Nintendo exclusive, like Zelda, Mario, Pokemon, even though Fortnite is number one. Fall Guys is also, and they said surprisingly, is included. I play Fall Guys. It's a cute little multiplayer game where you have different challenges to beat in an individual and group thing. So I think a lot of things are accounting for this is story. How long is and how engaging is the story for gamers? For me, I love a good storyline when I'm playing the game, but also then how open is the world? So open player worlds. How can I build community? What are the games inside of that open world we can play? So GTA 5, people, you know, talk about how long it's been since GTA 6 isn't coming out until, was it, I forgot now, 2025. But it's been so many years since GTA 5 and now GTA 6. But GTA 5 is one of the top five games because of its open world. And
there's a good storyline, too.
Good storyline, downloadable content that people can play after they've beaten the game. And then those different series that they release for the online world that you can play with your friend and different servers that have been built from that. So people find community there. So that's another aspect. Are people able to build community around your game? And also think about, too, like in the news where we heard different gaming companies kind of falling apart, or just the truth about how overworked people are with producing those games on those tight timelines, and how, you know, some of the workers weren't able to sleep because of the production deadlines. Also, the racism and sexism faced in there. And so now players, too, are asking for better hairstyles for Black characters.
Mm-hmm. And skin tones, too.
Skin tone, you know, options. All of the custom. Can you customize your character?
People
spend a lot of time. I spend a lot of time customizing my character when that's an option. there's so many things that go into that. And then, like they were saying, you know, we're not in the pandemic anymore. So now that you can go outside, what is the drawback to the game? So I think now for a lot of industries, because people are choosing community, choosing to go back outside, because everything is so expensive, we have to really justify those kind of purchases and where we spend our time, mm-hmm. because it's not so, we aren't forced to be inside, but we also aren't forced to be inside to play these games.
If they're not enjoyable, you know.
Right. And then what's portable? Mm-hmm. Can people take your game, you know, on the road? Mm-hmm. It's easy to just hook up and get a couple of rounds in, which I was surprised that like 2K and Madden type games weren't higher on the list, because
oh yeah, that used to be the hot commodity.
2K to me is just another reprint type of game where it's the same game, but they just update things. They update players. You know, they have the WNBA players.
Whoever's now the hottest player, the main, you know, score, they boost that up and maybe add a little different sound bite to it.
And the perks. Yeah. I'm just curious what are gamers looking for now? But I think like that community building, the open player space are big ticket items to think about. And I think cozy games, that's something too. I wonder how are more people playing cozy games, or if that even isn't a big enough. I don't know if it's not a big enough market, or is it an untapped market? Because I've seen a lot of people too now who are into cozy games or games that replicate daily life or slice of life type things. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people are playing games that are emulating being like a grocery store clerk, a barber, or in a salon, or mm-hmm. baking, different things like that. So I'm curious.
Me too.
What kind of games do you play? Because did you play Candy Crush?
No, never.
No, you didn't get hooked.
Because I was getting tired of these people crushing and couldn't get their work done. I think that's what pissing me off. But I do like some games.
Yeah.
I like Cooking Mama.
Cooking Mama.
I like that game. And I like mystery games where you have to find items and locations. And mm-hmm. I like building cities.
Okay.
I like that.
Okay. You sound like a kind of cozy puzzle gamer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I enjoy watching my kids play Apex, GTA. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because I'd be like, what? They doing what there? I'd be like, get out of here. Playing that in the game? Mm-hmm. And then I hear the different voices of, like you say, building a community. Mm-hmm. And sometimes y'all have been playing with these people almost six and eight years. And y'all still playing together. Mm-hmm. I think that's really cool.
Yeah. Google Podcast is dead. But Google's own podcast isn't on YouTube Music. I thought this was just a little funny ditty. Bob, thinking about how different online industries and platforms are changing as, you know, things are evolving and we move into more like Web3 spaces, but also just things are evolving online. So Google Podcasts is closing, pushing users to switch to YouTube Music, but the transition is far from smooth. YouTube Music lacks popular podcasts, including its own made by Google Podcasts. It makes it difficult for users to add custom RSS feeds. Users may end up switching to competitors for another podcast experience due to YouTube Music's issues.
Yeah, every time they do that, it's always some kind of shenanigans. You're going to win, lose, or make you, like you say, go into in your pocket to pay for something that you're going to enjoy.
Yeah. It's weird too that people are starting to notice different projects that have been ended by Google. So I didn't know. I'm just learning about this. They call it Google Graveyard. But Google is like infamous, they said, for quickly and prematurely killing beloved projects and products. The highest profile loss at the beginning of the year was Stadia, the company's game streaming service that launched in 2019, after not gaining as much momentum as the company would hope, but it quickly decided to reduce spending and ultimately shut it down. Stadia is not the only product that was killed in 2023, and with Google Podcasts officially on the way out, it says they already know what's coming for 2024. Inactive Google accounts were closing. Photospheres, Google domains. I know a lot of people liked buying oversights from Google. PixelPass, it was a great idea. You could pay a flat fee to Google to receive a new Pixel phone every 2 years, along with bundled subscriptions at a discount. Google Currents, so it was a replacement for Google Plus for businesses. It was supposed to be like a social network for individual workspaces. But it didn't really take off. They also had an album archive. They also removed YouTube stories. Grasshopper assisted conversational actions. But it looks like sometimes you have to pivot. If it's not working, you gotta
crash it.
If it's not working, and that's something to think about too. What does capitalism cost you, or cost your company, cost you in general?
Anything. Stuff it's not to worth think about. It, just get rid of it. You can't get too comfortable with nothing no more.
Yeah, so sometimes just create stuff for the sake of creating. If you can, don't let capitalism ruin the things that bring you joy.
Exactly. That's like a good cup of hot tea for me.
And that's what sugar cubes is for. Hey!
Hey! Hey, did y'all leave us 5 stars yet? We're waiting. You got Facebook, you got Instagram, you got YouTube. Follow us. We waiting. Did you know Talking Brown Sugar can go anywhere you wanted to go? On any format? It'll make your day. It'll put a little sugar in your cup. Yo, wellness check.
Yes, it's pollen everywhere. My gosh. Do yourself a favor, get you cover your face, your eyes. If you have allergies, we're praying with you. Take the medicines you need to take. But also, when you come in, just change your clothes, wash your face. That can help too.
Oh, yeah.
Help you to not track in pollen. Do it at the door.
And I like looking cute. I had to take my contact lens out with the red eye.
Yeah. It's out here.
It's scary.
It's gross. It's the yellow dusting. It's like snow. The yellow snow.
It's nasty. The
yellow snow.
They say don't eat it.
Don't eat that.
So don't lick your face or kiss somebody. You might have pollen on your mouth.
That's that for the bees. It's okay.
Ooh, some honey.
Also, we have what coming up Monday?
The eclipse. It's really making a marketing thing, and we got to be safe.
Yeah, a lot of people will be traveling to the U.S. to view it. It's a once in a lifetime kind of thing. It's happening Monday, April 8th. If you are in North Carolina, it will be around 1:55 to right before 3:12 p.m. is when you get to see it. So don't panic if, around that time it just gets dark out of nowhere. It's the eclipse.
And be careful with your eyewear. Don't try to just look up at the sun with bare eyes, please. Go to your nearest drugstore, or some people know how to make some good old-fashioned gadgets with a cereal box. Google it or look it up to see how to make it. Because you only got one set of eyes.
The eyewear to view the eclipse. Yeah, don't look at, don't stare at it.
Please don't.
We're the main discussion today. And if you don't know, you do know now. Black people make the world go round. But today we're talking specifically about those influencers and brand deals. If you are regularly online, you may have seen conversation around the need for diversity in influencer industry, specifically with different influencers getting deals and the lack of opportunity for Black influencers. So one main example that kind of kicked off some of this discussion was with Raymonte and Essence. So Essence wrote an article about the lack of opportunity for Black influencers and had a greater call out for influencer diversity among brands and the brand opportunities they have. After highlighting a birthday trip with the influencer Raymonte, who went with fellow Gen Z influencers Dre Brown, Malik McIntyre, and Davy Bad. So Raymonte went viral for his initial response to Essence, where he said, "Oh my God, Essence, thank you for the article, but this is kind of hypocritical." He posted on Twitter. He said, "You all have invited numerous other influencers to events, never me. The same thing with BET. I have a large following and my supporters keep me afloat, so I don't cry over spilled milk. I don't need a pity party or deep dive into why I'm not marketable. Don't use me as an example when you contribute to the problem." He also went on to tell them not to, you know, delete the article from their site because the topic needs to be discussed, and, you know, despite him calling them out. And so this is huge online because Essence's response to him was also viral. And I think it's since been deleted. But super disappointed that this was the response to the angle of uplifting, learning more about you, and wanting brands to recognize what you bring to the table. Everything isn't for everyone, and we receive that moving forward. Wish you the best. Keep going. So a lot of people online thought Essence was in the wrong for using Raymonte as an example while also not giving or offering any brand deals and opportunities with Raymonte or other influencers like Raymonte. And so, of course, Raymonte responded back and forth. Raymonte, just reflecting on what Essence said, "I was really respectful. I thought they were acting like I did something to them. I'm never getting interviewed now." Essence has since deleted the post of the story from Twitter, as well as their response to Raymonte. But the article is still on their website. So, of course, the Internet Black Twitter had some thoughts. So they were, you know, talking about how they believe that more Black influencers they've seen should be receiving brand deals, similar to, you know, the counterparts, but other influencers who they deem as, you know, less deserving because they aren't as entertaining. But it's a numbers game that we know isn't fair.
We know it's not fair. And people have the right, what they say, freedom of speech, but watch the speech. Everybody needs credit when credit is due. He's just asking for a little, just a little appreciation. Just a little, like, yeah, thank you, little clap. You did good. We're going to try you out.
But yeah, Raymonte was making the point of not wanting to be used as an example about, you know, Black influencers who don't get brands, saying that, you know, I'm fine with my supporters. My supporters take care of me, not brands like you. Which I think is ironic because he also had a back and forth with Cardi B. And of course, this isn't their first, interaction online, because they both brought up how this is not their first time having a talk. And so Raymonte was going back and forth with Cardi B about using her as an example when being called ghetto. So in response to the internet, you know, of course, when things go viral, when you're the author, you're going to receive all kinds of input from everybody. And sometimes, as that one person, you know, you can't necessarily prepare for being viral, but you can.
Yeah,
you can be media trained so that you can handle a viral moment. There are sometimes threads that surface when people are reacting to different things. And I feel like, especially now with our current way we engage online, people feel like they sometimes have to co-sign the main idea about something, especially when it comes to like stands and fans of things, or people who feel a certain way or a certain type of internet user. They feel like they have to co-sign to certain ways of,
this is how it should be,
this is what it should be,
this is what it's going to be.
Yeah, they feel like they have to co-sign. Like,
what? How are you trying to entertain people?
And they feel like they have to respond to things that happen in one way.
Mm-hmm. And judge and jury.
Mm-hmm. And so one of the threads that I guess Raymonte was picking on and a lot of people picked up on was people were saying, well, brands wouldn't want to work with you because you're ghetto. And a rebuttal to the internet saying that he was ghetto and shouldn't get brand deals, he was offering up Cardi B as an example as to why. Basically said, like, I'm not ghetto. I'm no ghetto, more ghetto than Cardi B. And look at Cardi B. Cardi B has brand deals, even though she's ghetto, she's this, she's that. And so the reason why they went back and forth was because Cardi B responded to him and was like, why use me as an example about me being ghetto? Because it takes away from all the work that I've done to be essentially more marketable. And so she basically talked specifically about when she went viral.
And the hard work that she had to put in to get what she got.
To talk different, to be seen different. And she still is only seen as a stripper or ghetto, even though she has made a lot of different changes to, I guess, appeal to wider audiences.
And to get on different magazine covers, like Vanity Fair. That's good stuff.
And to be, you know, interviewing Biden and... I just blanked on who else she was interviewing. But Bernie Sanders.
Bernie Sanders.
And Biden, people took away from the fact that, you know, she has a degree in history. So she knew what she was talking about. She was informed in the things she was discussing, but people do not see her as somebody who
is... put that face for what they want to represent. And, it, you know, people always remember your negative before they ever see the grit of your positive and how it has influenced young girls say, oh, I can do that. It goes beyond just being a stripper. You still got to have a talent in everything you do. I don't care what it is.
Right. And... it was just them going back and forth about that and arriving at, I guess, the understanding that
you gotta do your work.
And some people you have to work to get where you want to go with that.
And I don't think he meant any negative harm. I think he was giving her like a plus, like, well, you know, if Cardi B can do it, I can do it too, you know. And when people always say ghetto, everybody got some kind of ratchetness, some kind of ghetto in them. Think about the things they do behind the scenes that we don't know. When they're talking to their main head people who's in charge of them, and they be like, okay, that does make sense, but you just have to word it a certain way or make it, dress it up a certain look.
But
the quality of it.
But that's where I'm like, I'm not entirely sure about how he was trying to use her as an example either. And I understand why she took offense the same way he took offense when Essence called him in as an example. And they didn't say that he was ghetto. People said he was ghetto, and that's why he shouldn't receive opportunities or brand paid brand opportunities.
With elite brands.
Not even just elite brands, just brands in general. Because Cardi, she was making the point saying, you know, no, people call her dumb because of the way she spoke. You know, they said she had no couth. They talked about her teeth, her braids when she had two buns. She said, even now, no matter what, you know, she's accomplished, she still gets called a stripper because she's from the ghetto. She said people misinterpret her because she's loud and ghetto all the time. And to this day, people still call her a hood rat. No matter what she's done.
You know, I call this haters when they see somebody involved and getting what they deserve. She worked hard for her stuff.
Right. And so she was driving home the point. And she said, why is that y'all got to use me to make y'all comparisons? Because y'all only see the glory, but not when I get dragged 24/7. So she was just saying leave her alone, out of the BS.
I understand it.
Which I think was the same point that he was making with Essence. So for him to bring her up is like,
I guess
him added to the problem too.
That's true. And plus, she's irrelevant right now and still trying to make her coins. You know, he could have picked out some other people. Like, what's her name? Sexy Red?
Right. And I think, you know, he, I don't remember. I watched the video, but I don't remember who he was calling out. Different rappers and people. He was like, I don't talk like them. I don't say this and that. So that doesn't make me ghetto. So it's, I definitely think it's a bigger conversation that needs to be had. And there's,
and not getting off the topic, sometimes that those people gimmicks that got them where they are until they start making the money with the industry they change.
Being, but them being a provocateur to be viral to, because Drake does that stuff too. He interacts with things that'll stoke fire in those conversations to go viral, to stay in the media, but not necessarily getting in the studio to get back at people that are popping at him. But that's another conversation for another day.
Because we do see our black people who are trying to make it in this industry, you know, doing their lives on any kind of app. But they don't get their just, or what door you have to go into, or what tail you got to kiss to, or what you got to co-sign to say you can get that.
But a lot of, but I think a lot of it too isn't just, one example of virality I could think of is Kai Cenat. He's 22, 23 and very viral, very popular. But if you listen to him and he talk about his story, he, you know, was filming himself every day for years, not having the kind of traction that he gets now. But he was talking about, you know, just being consistent, showing up, putting out his content is what got him to where he was at. So I think, too, it's the combination of you do have to do the work to get there. And then as black people, we have even more hurdles sometimes to get those kind of brand deals that we want and expect to get when we have the numbers, when we have the influence. It is the question then, why aren't brands showing up? That self-policing of people talking about, oh, you're too ghetto for this, that, and the third. It's just like,
I think that's just something they just, they don't know what else to say to make it sound right. But so everybody got their own uniqueness.
Well, they do know what to say. It's a self-policing that's ingrained.
Right.
In
what you said, just ghetto. The history. My skin color, that could be anybody.
The skin color, like, like you said, the way you talk, where you come from. Because you think about us growing up in the South, I don't have an accent because I was told not to talk a certain way so that when I go out into the world, I'll be more acceptable. And I think that's why I really love this Cowboy Carter, because there's something about the pride you hear in some of the twang, the sounds, the songs, and then the little notes that you get about, you know, just things that are just Southern and ours. Ours as stuff we made up, stuff that is a part of our culture, stuff that's a part of our history, and being proud of just that, not for the sake of anybody else's gaze, when we are in front-facing positions and thinking about who is going to cut us a check to represent their brand. It's like, how can we continue to show up as our authentic selves and not police each other about how and why we should show up a certain way to be more attractive to brands when we still are moving numbers by just being ourselves? So, like Tabitha Brown, she turned down deals where they wanted her to change her fro. Tabitha Brown still has a very Southern cadence to how she speaks. And that has not changed in who and how people accept her. So I think moving forward, we as black people, especially people who want to be influencers, who want to be famous, people who want to be creative and profitable in those sectors or just from the things that come from them, continue to put out your content, not for I guess, the attraction of brand deals, even though that's what's going to make bank. If you're doing it for the money, you're doing it for those brands, you're not going to be able to be yourself.
Well, that's what happens when that happens. It would automatically change in itself. Because if you once get a taste of that money, they're going to change you.
Yeah, that can happen.
Yeah, that's going to happen.
Yeah, if that's what I'm saying, if that's what you want.
Yeah.
And I feel like if you don't want to change who you are, you're going to have to...
You got to fight for it.
You're going to have to go without.
Yeah.
And fight, and like you said, yeah. Fight for... Go without the...
The glam.
The ideal. The ideal, and go for the brands that are accepting you as you are, and for the people that are loving you as your original self, and not people who want you to be less this, less that.
Because that'll make you be more less productive ghetto, if you are proud of whatever you bring out.
Less this, yeah.
So, because I don't get offended on how people say whatever to me, because that's their opinion. And I figure it's going to be something about me you're going to like, even if you don't know me. But everybody always want to see you default yourself if they can say something just to hit you in your gut. You be like, "Dad, here they go again." But that little bit should make you tougher and stronger to fight for what you believe in yourself and what you're bringing out. Because somebody's listening. Somebody's watching what you do. And somebody's looking at your brand. And sometimes it takes that one company just to take a chance with you to help you bring out the best of you. It's a challenge.
Right. And so that's when we zoom out and we look at the bigger picture mm-hmm. of the industry. And then like this piece from Girls United makes the point that I agree with. Brands are frequently faltering in their engagement with Black influencers due to systemic issues in the marketing industry. With a lack of diversity and representation within brand decision-making circles, there could be a mishap on which influencer brands should focus. As we keep seeing Black creators put themselves out there online, there should also be moments where brands look at, you know, ways to capitalize and connect with the next generation. So when the voices at the table do not reflect the diversity of the consumer base, blind spots emerge and brands can overlook the significance of collaborating with Black influencers or fail to appreciate the value they bring to their campaigns. So with like Raymonte's birthday trip, you know, it continues to show that missing brand elements are needed. So like diversity in influencers. Authenticity is essential in influencer marketing. And brands that fail to recognize the importance of genuine connections miss the opportunities to build trust and loyalty among diverse consumers.
That said a lot in a nutshell. That's exactly what it is.
Image. Yeah, so at the same time that Black influencers are out here garnering influence, garnering attention and fans, they are still under invested in compared to the white counterparts.
Right, and doing the same identical thing or even better. Because I've seen some things these new people are doing that's really interesting and colorful, make you laugh. Not comical laughing, but laughing of, like, this was smart. This was a great investment. Nobody's seen this? You know, it just gets blown away. Like, oh, we've seen it. Or that somebody will copy it and steal it, but won't give them their just due. Because that was their original project. And somebody always copycatting it and taking it and saying it's theirs and it's not.
So research does show that, you know, we've talked about it before. And it's, I think, a well-known fact that Black consumers have a huge influence on like purchasing power, making brands popular, especially with smaller budgets and the resources,
mm-hmm.
doing so much with
little
less resources, and so with that underinvestment, it can perpetuate inequalities within influencer marketing. But I do think. Now, like I said, continue to be yourself, continue to put yourself out there, but also the industry does need to invest more in Black influencers. And so some examples of brands getting it right, I would say, is Reese Atisa and the Netflix deal. Another example, you know, Ain't I Fresh?
Yeah, that's...
Mm-hmm. Ain't I Fresh? That's a great example. Another one is my girl with Samira in a plus size freestyle. She's had plenty of brands reach out to her and never promoting her. And she's continued to be herself.
That's all we ask. Because think about it. Up under the rainbow, we all different. All over the United States, international. We want representation on a good, positive note. And with our brown people, and our black people, we need it. We should be striving.
Yeah. So definitely something to think about just as a creative, as somebody who has the purse, who's, you know, signing checks. Everybody continue to do your, you know, do your thing. Continue to post, to continue to speak out, to engage with different kinds of black brands and influencers. But also, let's look into some ways that we can continue to support each other. And across networks, like Issa Rae said, how can we continue to connect with people who are, you know, in our same industry or just next to us? What are you working on that I can help with, and vice versa? Sometimes we have to create that shift within ourselves or within our circles.
True. Definitely that.
To shake it up. Do you have any final thoughts, Mama?
I want to end this on some good giggles and always bring your best vibe. Get you some good sip.
Mm-hmm. Some good sip. Some juice or whatever makes you go.
That's it. Hug somebody, get somebody high five, a good wink,
a smile.
That can always brighten your day. I'm Angela the mom.
I'm Roger the daughter.
And this is
Talking Brown Sugar.
Woo woo, Talking Brown Sugar.
We out.